This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Always appreciative of Sean, Seth, and of course, D&M Auto Leasing for that fantastic crosstalk. I would say, I feel like that was necessary to return the favor of discomfort because I was a little concerned about the fellas. Because as we walked in for crosstalk, I look at the text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, mind you, and it said, y'all need face tats, and I can't imagine what listened to that. I don't know what necessitated Sean and Seth to get face tats. Here? I don't know. But yeah, I will completely drop that and continue into the show. It is a Wednesday here in the loop. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, appreciation to the Mocarum Injury Law Firm. That's right, for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Does this team need to switch up their starting lineup? Especially because it feels like there has been a particular lineup that has been the bellwether of good times for this Rockets team down the stretch. And even in this early portions of the postseason, which is that double big. And Lopez, I feel like you're about to do some proselytizing, is that word goes? Mm-hmm. You about to do some evangelizing of sorts for the double big lineup.
The Lord wants us to do this. The Lord wants us to. No. Here. Sometimes you get your answer by asking the question. All right? You get your answer to whether they should switch their lineup by asking the question. What's the downside to going to a double big lineup? What's the downside?
I think if you're starting,
oh, okay, you might lose.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It is indeed.
As opposed to what?
Speaking of the new Pope, John Lopez, facetiously, mind you, I hope that nobody thinks that I'm taking their religions in
all
vain.
All black smoke here in terms of my papacy.
Yeah, that's right. But, like, I think when it comes down to it, right, like you've already talked about the double big lineup and getting it out there. I do wonder, though, if you start with it. Mm-hmm. Right, and you have determined that this is a must-win game, correct?
Correct.
Thank you, Pope. But if you start with it, the question that I have is, then how does the rotation fall to where you can play Steven Adams and he's still giving you the most bang for your buck when you get to the moments when you need it the
most? I've got your answer, buddy.
Okay, please do. Please
Jabari. You don't have to go triple big. That's a very, you know, exclusive small thing.
Jumbo package.
Yeah. That's a very small thing that they do occasionally. You can mix in Jabari and still be able to get in, you know, your other regular players that you lean on. Here's the thing, and I'm dead serious with the answer to that question. Oh, wow, it might blow up in their faces and they could lose. Well, that's your answer. They've already lost 3 out of 4. So you need to at least mix things up, wake up the bats, as they say in baseball, to mix metaphors here. And then, you know, your starting lineup has been outscored 31-18 during their minutes. We're outscored 31-18 during their minutes in game four. There were 3 plus minuses that were minuses with your starting lineup. 3 players. Your bigs outscored the Warriors 38-25 in that game. There is no downside at this point. It is must win, and I think that plays into it.
I think the downsides I'll bring up again. I mean, game four was the most minutes that you'd seen Steven Adams in this series, 26 minutes. I think you start him and you are right. You're pushing up on 26 and maybe even more, depending on how you utilize this. And you might be using more of those minutes earlier on rather than later on, where I think that I've always, and I think a lot of people would be a proponent of more caring about what your closing lineup is than your starting lineup.
Sure, especially, I agree with that.
Especially when you consider that has been, I mean, I know you're talking about your starting lineups losing, so losing minutes. Your clutch time minutes, you have been dominated largely in this series. And that's a thing that I think is a concerning element of this. But on top of that, on the text line from the 346, double bigs clogging up the lane. How much concern do you have?
That.
Well,
you want it
defensively. But on the offensive end, especially an offense that has not been as effective as you might want it to be, or, I mean, as you would hope that it would be in this instance.
Yeah.
How much do you want that clogging lane, especially when you look at the idea of some people, and I think relatively reasonably so, would look at this series and say, you will go as far as Jalen Green goes, and I know that there's concerns about the consistency. Concerns is probably the nicest possible way that I can say that. But you really hamper his ability to be any level of effective if you are not able to get him downhill towards the paint, which it feels like you absolutely would not be able to do with both of the bigs on the floor in that way.
I would argue that the double bigs is more effective on the offensive end than the defensive end. And let me explain.
Okay.
On the offensive end, go back and watch this game when Steven Adams in particular was on it. They refused to double team Alperen Şengün because then you get a little dump off.
Correct.
Dunk.
Right.
All right. That is hugely effective. Şengün scored 31 points because he was largely single teamed. It's better on the offensive end. And by the way, the offense is what you need. The offense is what you need. I think the other thing that the double bigs does, you know, it mitigates an incredibly slow start in the first half and an incredibly slow start in the second half because you just saw the numbers. They outscore and outplay Golden State when they have the double bigs. I mean, those are undeniable. I mean, at least in game four and certainly for the entire series in the time they've been together. No, I don't see any downside to starting the double bigs.
All right, I will throw out another plausibility is that all I've been doing is just trying to see if I can
holes,
if I can defense lawyer myself through your allegations here. Is it possible though that you expose yourself to even more double bigs with Steph Curry on the floor? And I know that there was a very good stretch in game four of having that kind of matchup zone where you were able to play some pretty damn good defense in a zone, even though at times it was stretched to a point where it almost didn't look like it while Steph Curry was on the floor. I think that's cool. Can you do that in extended minutes with Steph Curry versus the zone, which is what you were looking to do?
No, that's a good question. And that's a solid point. But you do have some hints of it working.
Right.
So, you know, all you have to do is bank on it. Hope that you get a more effective offense, which I think you will, as I just pointed out. You know the defense is going to be good. And then you mentioned Jalen Green, and I didn't get to that. Right now, you'll take anything out of Jalen Green, like anything. You're not clearing any lanes for Jalen Green right now. You're just not. I mean, he has wilted. I was very hesitant to say it after game one. I think we all agree now. He's wilted. He's shrunk. So you don't worry about creating lanes for him. The other thing that it does, though, it opens up the backside for Amen Thompson. And we saw that in several instances when Steven Adams was on, I guess it would be the right block. You know, Şengün's at the top of the key or the top of the lane. Mm-hmm. And here comes Amen Thompson.
Yeah, those 45 cuts, those baseline cuts, things of that nature that have worked really well. I think then, and tell me if I'm wrong in making this assumption about what your vision is for this Game 5 Rockets, at least starting lineup, and I imagine what you mean is probably just like the most utilized lineup in this game. Does that then mean you are fully all in on what we saw in Game 1 and kind of what we saw in Game 5, where it is run the offense through Alperen Şengün and succeed or fail with his ability to be effective being the hub of what you are doing offensively?
I think he's been the most consistent presence offensively. I don't think anybody can deny that. Fred VanVleet had eight three-pointers right after a game where he couldn't do anything. Talk about Amen. He was very, up and down, but he actually starred with the double bigs. Jalen Green, we know the story. Dylan Brooks, you're going to get what you get. I mean, up and down, some spurts here and there. So I think the most consistent offensive presence you've had has been Alperen Şengün. And I think you agree with me. Anybody who's criticizing Alperen Şengün, I can understand the criticism, but I don't think it's valid in terms of what you should do offensively with this team.
Okay, so you're coming from the starting five perspective. Will there be a change, or you would like to see a change? Daniel Lerner asked Ime Udoka himself if he was willing, or if there was a possibility of changing the starting lineup for Game 5.
Yeah, we'll take a look at everything. Obviously, certain lineups have been much better at times, and the poor start to the third really stands out, obviously. There's a few pieces to it. There's obviously offensive things, and the big lineup goes on, and they rebound well and all those things. But at the same time, we've been really good defensively with that starting unit, keeping them in the low 20s for the most part and having a lead after most of these first quarters. So doing good defensively there. Offensively, got some room to make up for sure.
And you know what they did, the Golden State Warriors, in the first quarter of game four? They scored 28 points. They put it on you pretty good. I think it was 28 points. to 28, right? After the first quarter, something like that.
28-26 in favor of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's another reason to do it. And then the other thing that I don't know how important it is, but I think it is a factor. You know, Ime Udoka and the Rockets have been saying from before the series even started, we want it grimy. We like it grimy. We excel when it's grimy. I think that's the word they used. You're grimier when you got Steven Adams out there. You know, it mitigates Draymond Green's nonsense a little bit too, you know?
So you're thinking about an uptick in maybe some Steven Adams numbers, maybe 26 to slide in an extra 4 minutes there to 30.
Yeah.
What are you feeling about Jabari as well? Because I think that's been one that people have been clamoring for. Every time that he has had the ball in his hands and he's had the opportunity to do something, he has been fairly effective with it. I guess this is the way that I think about it, because I know that it's like, hey, well, then just do more of that, right? Run the make a basket play, ultimately, is the way that we all feel about this. But I think with Jabari, because of the way that he is as a player, he is not going to create for himself. Like, how do you do that is the question that I ultimately ask with Jabari in getting him more involved in the offense. Do you see something immediately that comes to you on how you would implement Jabari Smith Jr. even more in a game plan?
Well, I in terms of, like, strategically, I think he's sort of maybe, you know, garbage points is a little harsh. But
just, like, find the offense within the flow of whatever else is happening.
Exactly. And I think the reason that you can get away with starting the double bigs is because of Jabari Smith. I think he's crucial in this because he can come in and spell Steven Adams here and there. He can give you the jumbo if you need it here and there. And the other guys can come in and then, you know, get their minutes. I'm not saying, you know, bench these guys or whatever, but I think they can get their minutes because of Jabari.
Okay. Well, game five is tonight at Toyota Center. Excited to see what this game looks like in a must-win game in which the Rockets must stave off elimination. It's one of the things I love in sports is that we have various words that we really don't use except when we get a very particular circumstance, and then we use them to no end. And so I will be hypocritical in that way today. I apologize ahead of time, but I'd probably say the word stave a lot today just because I find it to be...
I like the sports word duckets. You don't see it in any other context.
What context
tickets
do you see it in?
They call them tickets.
I ain't seen duckets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, brother.
Think you ever heard duckets?
Nah, I never
heard duckets. You out here on your lonesome.
Nah, man. 713-572-4610.
All right, we'll throw it to duckets. The people. Do people say duckets? Yes or no?
Probably back in 1962.
I was like, did he say buckets?
Duckets.
No, duckets. Okay.
Ducket.
Right. So what is tickets to the game?
It's a euphemism.
Except we don't even really have
it. Wants a duckets to see Bay Roof?
Yeah.
That's the last time that was used.
All right, before we go, I got to do this. From the 916, mix in Jock Landale and Kim Whitmore.
Come on now.
Word.
All right, man, you got to hit the showers, man, for that one.
Word.
Jock
Landale. I like how you did a little switch there.
Yeah.
Jock Landale, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look,
man.
Hey, we're getting creative.
I guess so.
Man, why not, man? Yeah, you got to try something.
It is a must win. Yeah. It is an elimination game.
Hell, throw Cam Whitmore out there, man. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can do.
It just feels like in a particular series like this, getting a Cam Whitmore who, yes, in theory, is a bucket to be, hey, this is going to be a consistent one, and also fall in line with, like, the very stringent defense that is necessary to keep this thing, like, as the patchwork or, like, the list of things that is necessary to get a W. One of them is be very effective defensively and stay on task. Cam Whitmore, I don't think he proved through 82 games that he does that consistently, and I don't know that I immediately want to throw him into that situation to figure that out in this series. But look, we'll see what Ime Udoka ultimately comes with. This is one of the early tests of his career here as a Rockets coach when it comes to playoff success, and we'll see what it looks like tonight at the Toyota Center. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going right here on a Wednesday, on a hump day, if you choose to view it that way. Let's talk about these Astros. A couple of victories versus the AL-leading Detroit Tigers, eight victories in the last 11 games. Are you feeling the Astros turning the corner yet? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.